And it's all staticky. What is going on? Good morning. Oh, where's my paper? Hopefully it's working. There's Erin. All right. Good morning. Today is March 29th. I am your host, Dina Jo, coming to you live from the DJ Pebble studio in the Mile High City. Oh, I'm getting a message. Oh, welcome to the program is what I should be saying. So grateful to have you with us today. If you're listening to this later on the download, I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you. And hit that follow button so you can join us live sometime. I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7:45 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Thank you for your continued love, likes, shares, and downloads. I appreciate it so very much. I hope that this is going out because I've been having problems with Podbean all morning. All right, today is Good Friday, and I have Erin here to go over sports in a little bit. It's March 29th, happy Good Friday to everybody who celebrates that. Hi, Bella, how are you? I hope that you are well. All right, so I'm going to go over the weather real quick before I get into the word of the day and everything else. Let's see. So for my family out there in Welland, Ontario, it is 36 and mostly sunny. There will be mostly sunny skies, a high of 44. For BP, there is my friend right there, Bam Bam. he knows what his weather is. And then we have BP out there in Elwood City, Pennsylvania, and his weather, 36 and sunny. And expects nice skies of 35. Oh, there. What's going on, Erin? Erin? That was weird. Erin. Erin. Yes. Can you hear me talking to you? Okay, because I'm saying your name over and over and over again, and I can't hear you. So I'm just wondering if there's problems with Podbean. It's Ontario is chilly, Miss Queen Bella says. Yeah. Oh, I know it was nice yesterday. The last 2 days it's been nice, and it's supposed to dip down into the 50s today and then get warmer. Let's see. For Mike in Maryland, it is, boy, your mic is really making a lot of noise, Erin. It is 44 and sunny. Expect sunny skies, a high of 56, and it will be breezy. Erin.
Yes.
What are you doing with your mic? Because you're making a lot of noise.
I'm doing anything with my mic.
Okay, because it's something, I don't know, maybe it's Podbean, because it's like going in and out and making a, oh, Podbean glitch is happening on my life. Okay, thanks, Bella. I was just wondering, I'm like, what is going on? And I know last night, Bam Bam was having problems too, but he thought it was his phone, like his thing. So it is Podbean. I know everything has been gone. Like all my music, I have to upload it every single time I go live. It's weird. He can hang up and try calling back in. Why don't you do that, Erin? Hang up and then call back in and see. We'll see if it stops making that noise. Thanks, bud. That's just crazy. It kind of all started happening too after that, after those trolls were around. I wonder if they did something, not the trolls, but I wonder if Podbean is trying to fix something. For us, who knows, but anyway, hopefully, yeah, you sound better already. Hi, Mike. All right, so let's get back. So I said, Mike, your weather, I think it was 44 and sunny, expect sunny skies, 56, and it'll be, you'll have a breeze. It says you'll have a breeze. All right, so the word of the day, I like to start with the show with the word of the day or the phrase of the day. And a quote, spreading knowledge is a powerful way to adding value to the world. And so today's word of the day is challenges, facing challenges that we all do. And of course, this is not going to come up. Well, it'll come up. Let's see. So challenges are what makes life interesting. Overcoming them is what makes life meaningful. And that is a quote by Joshua Marino. And to face challenges means to encounter situations or problems that require significant mental or physical effort to overcome successfully. These challenges put our ability to test, pushing us to find solutions and adapt, persevere, and life is full of them. We always have them. We need to learn to embrace these challenges and look at them as opportunities for growth and transformation. It is essential to achieve our goals, both professionally and personally. They help us learn, grow, and develop new skills that can be applied to all aspects of our life. Let's see. You have to, they printed it super small, so I'm trying to not read where I left off. You have to change your mindset in order to take the challenges head on. These are two mindsets. A fixed mindset is which you see challenges as a threat and you avoid them. And a growth mindset is which sees challenges as an opportunity. When you're able to shift your mindset to the latter, the growth mindset, you're able to look at challenges completely different. So it doesn't come easily. You have to keep practicing doing it. So try to embrace every challenge that comes your way as a learning as much as you can. So of course, I have one that I want to play for you. Let's see if it'll come up on challenges. So here it is.
Are you listening to me? There are 24 hours in a day. Get up. Get up right now from your misery. Get up right now and start climbing. Get up right now and recognize who you are. Get up right now and say enough is enough. Fight for it. Take control of your life. When you get up out of that bed and you start your day, before you walk out that door, make peace with yourself. So what?
Thank you, Bam Bam.
So what? You fell down. Get up right now and climb. For every mountain that you climb, it's going to get tough. So I'm telling you to get up. Focus on conquering today. This is the moment of truth for you to understand that within you, there are great possibilities. I'm talking to the individual that understand that grit is work. Let me tell you something about grit. Grit. It's when you're hurting so bad. Grit is when you're hurting so bad, but you know you got a job to do. Grit is something that pushes you in a total different direction. How do you get through something? You got to keep climbing. Fall, climb. Slip, climb. You got to know that you are built for something. You wasn't built for nothing. You got to know that if it did not make you, it cannot break you. Pay attention to your drive. Pay attention to your purpose. And just get through the day. Don't dwell on tomorrow. Focus on now. I will make the mistakes. I will fall. But I will get up. I will struggle, but I will learn. You may ask, why me? Why do I have to face so many significant challenges? Why is it that every day that I go to my job, I'm facing challenges? Why is it every day I have to come across someone that wants to test me? Yeah, okay, there's a mountain. Let's see what I can do. Oh man, here we go. Here's another one. Let's see what I can do. You can't live this life without climbing to something. You want to go up, you got to climb up. You want to get up to the next level, you got to climb up. Obstacles, challenges, life. Oh, and guess what? I forgot to tell you this. Oh, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You got to work for it. This outcome that you want so bad in your life, this thing that you're chasing, whatever that may be, how do you expect to get there? It ain't gonna happen overnight. It's not gonna be handed to you. You gotta keep climbing up that mountain. You gotta keep going up. You are going to fall a few times. You are going to slip up. Let me tell you something. Many times in my life, I fell down. I slipped up. I didn't know how I was going to get up, but I got up. I refused to quit on me. I didn't want to go any further, but I said, not today. This is not going to happen to me because I know I got a job to do. You can do it. I know you. Today is the day. Today, it's about you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, throughout the rest of your life, you are going to challenge yourself. And you will be challenged. Throughout your life, you are going to have to face some things that you are not prepared for. But you better stay ready for it. You better get yourself together right now. You better understand that your life is not going to be easy because you are living it each and every day and something or someone is coming after you. Doesn't mean that your life is over. That means you are being tested. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep pushing. Don't stop. Keep fighting. Don't stop. Keep working. Let this day be a lesson, not an end. Let this day be the test for the testimony. Let this day be your
financing.
Let this day be your power. And walk through it. Push through it. And know that you got life to live. But if you give up, if you say you're less, then you'll never be more. Say it to yourself, I'm not done yet. I got power. I will rise again and I will
I'm gonna walk those steps today.
I am not here to be conquered. I will be the victorious one. I will conquer who I am. And I must continue to be the best of myself. So live it up. Conquer this day. Be productive. Be powerful. And from the bottom of my heart, conduct your business.
Conduct your business. That is right. Don't play over again. So don't stop. Don't give up. You got this. I believe in you. I like that one. Get me going. I need to do more steps today. Yesterday I had so many things, like I had the day planned, and every time you think you have things planned, everything comes in and like screws up your plans, and it doesn't go quite as the way you wanted it to go. The day before that, I did 65 flights, and that's just going up. I'm not counting coming back down and going back up. So I would have actually done 110? What's 65 and 65? 130, right? I think so. Anyway, going up and going up.
Right. Yep.
So I'm only counting going up, but yesterday I only got to 30. So I'm not going to be mad at myself, but I'm going to keep trying to get more and more so we get ready for that, that stair climb and I don't hurt myself. That's my objective, is not hurting myself. And I keep telling Aaron that too. It's not a race. We're not racing up the stairs because I don't need you falling and cracking your head open. It's just getting up those stairs. All right, Aaron, I have a couple jokes for you. Let's see if you've heard these before.
Okay.
What do you call a rude cow?
Don't know.
Beef jerky. Get it? He's a jerk. Mm. These are bad dad jokes. Come on, give me a little. All you get, give me is a Okay. All right, the next one. Did you hear about the guy who drank invisible ink?
No.
He's at the hospital waiting to be seen. Get it? He's invisible. He's waiting to be seen. That one was pretty good. Dang, Aaron, you're a tough crowd. He's a tough crowd. Thank you, Bam Bam. Thank you, Nancy.
I've heard better jokes, but I'm
thank
serious.
You, Michael. Well, that's because they're bad dad jokes. You're supposed to laugh a little bit. All right. So BP. Oh, okay. Countdown to Easter. We already know it is Good Friday. We have 1 day, 15 hours and 58 minutes, 35 seconds to go. If you're, making any Easter baskets, or Easter bonnets for people, BP sent me this and I think he wanted to make me puke. I really do. Let's see. I want to play this song.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water.
And the hot dog flavored water. Yes, hot dog flavored water. 7-Eleven is coming out with Big Bite hot dog sparkling water.
Oh, God.
Hi, South Osman. All I'm thinking of is that juicy substance that comes in the bag when you open it up and it smells awful. Oh, God, why would they think? And they're saying, well, it's close to April Fool's Day, but do you think that they would do that? I mean, that's
it sounds disgusting.
He said that he stopped at his 7-Eleven and they didn't have it. And I'm like, thank God. And he's like, and I said, but I'll leave that to you. I'm leaving it to BP to try the hot dog flavored water. I know. 7-Eleven announced plans to sell hot dog sparkling water on April 1st. So do you think it's an April Fool's joke? I don't know. The international retailer announced that the Big Bite hot dog sparkling water as part of the collaboration with Miracle Seltzer. According to the press release for convenience chain, the Big Bite hot dog sparkling water is 16-ounce fluid ounce version of 7-Eleven's 100 all beef hot dog, ketchup and mustard included. Oh my gosh. 7-Eleven calls the new flavor a daring flavor that pushes the boundaries of flavor innovation. Gone are the days of alternating bites of a hot dog and sips of a drink. Now you can just get it all in one bubbly drink. Oh, that rhymed. No, thank you. I'm passing. I would like to know somebody. I told him he needs to, if he finds it, I want to see him on video drinking it because I want to see the facial expression. You know, the one when I ate that maple soup ramen. Oh God, just like that. I want to see it. All right. Well, Aaron, you know what? I'm just going to let you get on into sports. And then if we have time after that, I'll do some, national holidays and stuff like that.
Okay.
But the music.
For me, from my experiences going to 7-Eleven with you and Lewis, I've never had their Big Bite hot dogs or anything like that, but the hot dog sparkling water just sounds absolutely disgusting.
I know. Oh, yeah. Yancey, I forgot about that. Mr. Yancey tried ranch ice cream on
Hidden Valley Ranch?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had them, you know, like the dill one we got, and that they had a Ranch Valley, they had a Hidden Valley Ranch one, and he tried it, but he was on the air on the podcast, and you could just hear his face. You could hear his facial expressions. It's like something you can't get that taste out of your mouth for a couple of hours. It's just stuck lingering in your mouth. No, thank you. Yeah. Hot dog flavored water. That's so gross. So gross. But we'll see. We'll see if he gets one. So you won't try it, huh, Aaron?
No, I mean, just thinking about it, I would rather just try the other things that they have, like do like a taste test and find like what my favorite thing is from 7-Eleven. Kind of like those YouTubers I like to watch in the morning.
Yeah.
Because a Good Mythical Morning, they usually do like taste tests. Like this morning, this episode I watched this morning, they were doing, they were taste testing all the different peeps because it's Easter.
Oh yeah. There's a whole bunch of them. Yeah. Those guys have they have like three or four different shows. They have a regular podcast, and they have a podcast where they just do food too, or one on the website that they just do food. Do they have a couple different things that they do?
Well, they have Good Mythical Morning. That's what I watch. They have a food website called Sporked.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And that's where these people, like, they rank these different kinds of foods or whatever to try or something.
Yeah, that's the one I've seen.
There's one. They do have a podcast. It's called Ear Biscuits. I've listened to it a few times.
Yes, I follow them.
And then I think, well, actually, right now they came out with a Mythical Cookbook now.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yeah, they've come a long way. So that's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're making some money. All right. What did I do with my, here's your list. WWE Friday Night SmackDown. That's what you're going to start with.
Yeah. This is the one SmackDown where Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns came face to face.
Oh,
to like talk to each other before their big match on Sunday at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I actually watched this whole segment on YouTube I think the night before I watched the recording.
Okay.
On YouTube. And then I just watched the recording of the Friday Night SmackDown the next day because I was watching basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So Santos Escobar defeated Rey Mysterio. And of course, Dirty Dom had to get in the way.
He did.
And then Io Sky defeated Naomi. And then the Street Profits and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, they're the two tag teams. They're going to be part of two tag team matches tonight. And whoever wins those two tag team matches tonight, they get to be in the six-pack ladder match.
Oh, okay.
Undisputed tag team titles.
And that's all on Sunday?
I think
the one you started with, I'm sorry, the Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, that is happening there. They faced off. That's happening
on WrestleMania Sunday.
So that's
my guess is the six pack ladder match happens on WrestleMania Saturday, not this weekend. So probably next weekend is WrestleMania.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's right. I'll look it up.
It's going to be in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Let's see. WrestleMania 2024. Philadelphia. It says April 6th through the 7th.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, the 6th through the 7th at Lincoln Financial Field. So, okay, perfect.
Yeah, that's home to the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, so there's two events happening this weekend.
Yeah, so they'll have WrestleMania Saturday.
There's three events happening this weekend. There's WWE, WrestleMania, and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Okay.
So then I watched some March Madness and Colorado Buffalo.
Wait a minute. That's it with WWE?
Yeah, for Friday Night SmackDown, yes.
All right, hold on. Hold on 1 second. This is the where Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, I guess, come face to face. They're saying it's only 2 minutes long, so here it is, and you can see it looks like one of the brothers. There was those two twin brothers.
Oh, Jimmy and Jey Uso.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. and
well, they're gonna actually gonna be facing off against each other in a match at WrestleMania. Actually, it's gonna be the third match ever between brothers.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they don't look good, like they like each other. And Bam Bam is correcting us. It's not this weekend. It's the following weekend.
Yeah, it's not this weekend. It's the following weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, for the WrestleMania. Oh, okay. So now each one of the brothers is on each one of the teams. Is that what's happening? One brother's on Roman Reigns' team and one brother's on Cody Rhodes' side?
Well, in that big tag team match on WrestleMania Saturday, it's actually Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Okay.
Yeah. Like what I was saying, Jimmy and Jey Uso have a match just by themselves.
Okay, so that's why they're over there. You need to tell me when this is on, because I got so much stuff going on that I don't remember, and then I can kind of watch things and see.
It should be streaming on Peacock.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, okay, I'll just watch it in the living room for whatever reason.
Of course, like next year, they'll be going to Netflix, and that's going to be a whole debacle right there.
Now, is all of WWE going to Netflix? I know you told me this before, or is it just...
I need to probably watch the interview again when they were talking to...
Look into it.
Pat McAfee was talking to like a business advisor or something, or like someone who really knows about business, like when they were talking about the whole deal about WWE being streamed on Netflix now. I think it's just Raw, but the thing that they left out was how are you going to be able to watch the premium live events like you've been able to on Peacock? Plus, where are you going to be able to watch SmackDown?
Yeah.
Because I was wondering if SmackDown is going to be still on cable television with Raw being on Netflix. So that kind of makes everything a little bit more confusing.
All right. We'll look into it.
Like, I get the part where you have to get a subscription to Netflix, though, but...
All right. Well, you figure it out so that we can know. Hi, D, so that we can know later on when I ask you. So we know who, I mean, I know Bam Bam probably knows. In fact, I remember him explaining it to us about why they were doing that, why some of them were going to Netflix or something. I just don't remember the whole thing. So that's why I asked. So, let's see. Raw will be on Netflix and I believe SmackDown will be on the USA Network. Thank you, Evie. Awesome. And now I feel like I have an echo. I hope it's not, you guys can't hear that, but that is so weird. It just started echoing. All right, Aaron. So March Madness.
Yep. So starting off with this one, our CU Buffs beat Florida in the first round. And this was a very intense game. Colorado won 102-100. And this was the first time I've ever seen Colorado score 100 points in a game, let alone in a tournament game.
Yeah, you know, those athletes, those young athletes are really amazing.
Yeah, and this game came right down to the final seconds, and KJ Simpson, who plays for the Colorado Buffaloes, he hit the game-winning shot with at least 3 seconds left.
Uh-huh.
Like when he shot, the ball hit the rim like at least 5 times before it went in.
Wow.
I know. It was a crazy – it was an unbelievable game, but we managed to pull off the win.
Okay. Now, who were we watching last night when we were eating dinner? It was it Iowa?
That was
– Clemson? They were wearing – one of the teams was wearing orange, and they had a little tiger print.
It was the Clemson Tigers against the Arizona Wildcats.
All right.
And
yeah.
That was the 16.
Okay. All right. Are you going to get into that later?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So go ahead.
Auburn lost to Yale by 2, 78-76. And then Alabama beat Charleston 109-96. And honestly, if not one of them, the highest scoring tournament game I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody score 109 points, let alone in a college basketball game.
That's amazing.
Well, actually in a tournament game, because I think – if I can recall, there was a college basketball game I watched. It was between maybe Michigan State and Iowa. This was before the tournament, and it was a 100 and I think it was a 112 to 106 win for Iowa, and it finished in overtime.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And what is her name? Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, Caitlin Clark. Yeah, she's playing. Her team's playing Colorado this weekend.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I think on Saturday.
That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up on the guide later and tell you what time the game comes on, because I'll be watching for sure.
Okay.
And honestly, well, I've been enjoying watching the women's college basketball because the games are play, actually huh? really competitive. They're really competitive.
See?
They're actually really competitive, and I wish the men's in college basketball, they play 2 20-minute halves. I wish they just divided that up into 10-minute quarters like in the women's game, so that way it's more competitive that way, because if it's a 20-minute half, I feel like in the men's game, they kind of just like drag it on a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they, of course, you usually take a timeout every once in a while, then you see commercials again and again.
Gotcha.
So I'm just thinking if they did 10-minute quarters, I think the game would go a little bit quicker.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, did you hear about – now I'm trying to remember the name of the basketball league that – is it Ice Cube that has it?
Yeah, the Big Three. I was going to say his Big Three offered a it was like $5 million to play 10 games in the Big Three.
Yeah. I wonder if she'll do it.
I actually first heard about the news on this is a new program from TNT Sports called TNT Sports Tonight, and I've been watching it on. It comes on True TV, I think, at 4 p.m. every weekday.
Uh-huh.
And it's just.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, Aaron, we lost you. See, Podbean is doing something weird. I can't hear you anymore. Let me see. Darn it. It's all of a sudden started echoing in my ear. Now? Yeah, now I can hear you. Now you're back.
Okay, so I was saying.
I don't want you to hang up. It worked earlier when Bella told us to do that. But yeah, okay.
I was saying, like, this is a new show that TNT Sports has made. I came across it, and I automatically love it because it's like a weekly daily sports show that only happens for like 30 like half an hour.
Uh-huh.
And it's a guy who comes on and talks about what's been going on in the world of sports for about a half hour called TNT Sports Tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
And it comes on TV in the afternoons at 4 p.m.
Okay, so he kind of tells you about what happened that day.
Yeah, and that's where I found out the news about Caitlin Clark being offered the $5 million to play in the Big Three.
Yeah, I know. When I heard that, I was like, wow, she must be really – I haven't seen her yet, so I'd like to –
Yeah, like I said, I'll look it up on the guide this afternoon before maybe I go to bed or something and let you know what time the Colorado-Iowa game comes on. I'm pretty sure it's going to be on ABC.
Okay. Now, yeah. Do you think we're going to win? Or is Iowa so good because of her?
I have a feeling Iowa's going to win, but it's going to be tough for our CU Buffs to pull off the upset.
Yeah. Well, they might
we'll see what happens, though. We'll see.
Where are they playing?
I know this is the regionals now, the regional semifinals. I know. I'm trying to think which. I think it might be in Albany, New York, or Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay. So I don't know any of that. I didn't know if they played in Colorado or if they played in Iowa. So they're all playing in one central place.
Yeah, kind of like in the men's tournament where they play in the games in different cities.
Gotcha.
Like the Clemson, Arizona game we were watching, that was being taken place in Los Angeles.
Thank you, Bam Bam. Gotcha. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. All right, so now where are you on your list? I got lost. NHL, Colorado Avalanche.
Yep. So this first one, well, unfortunately, spoiler alert, later on, they would, their 9-game winning streak would come to an end.
Yeah,
but this one, they played against the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I listened to it on the radio. They won 6-1. This was a home game.
Is that another one where they're not allowing us to watch? Is the Avalanche?
What? I think so, but I, like I said, I was listening to it on the radio.
Okay, that's why I asked. Why were you listening to it on the radio? Because you couldn't watch it on TV?
Because Altitude also has a radio station where you can listen into the Nuggets and Avalanche.
Okay. I just didn't know if that was because you couldn't watch it.
Right, but I usually wait until like the Avalanche are on national television. So if it's a game I want to listen to on the radio, then I'll just turn on Altitude Sports Radio on my Echo Dot speaker and listen into the game that way.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then back to March Madness. It was back on the 23rd of March. Watch Gonzaga. They beat Kansas 89-68. North Carolina beat Michigan State 85-69.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tennessee defeated Texas 62-58. And in the women's tournament I watched, Indiana defeated Fairfield 89-56.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame defeated Kent State 81-67. And then Iowa crushed Holy Cross 91-65.
Oh, wow.
And Caitlin Clark in that game scored 27 points, had 10 assists, 8 and 8 rebounds.
She is good, huh?
Yeah, she's really good.
And I'm not saying this out. Hold on one second. I've never seen this girl before. I don't know. I've never seen her before. But is she white? Caitlin Clark?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But she spells Caitlin C A I T A I N.
Okay, gotcha. Now I think I know who you're talking about. I think I know what commercial. What is it? Is it State Farm or is it Progressive or with the Jake one of those?
State Farm, where the basketball players usually show up.
Yeah, and there's a girl basketball player. Now I know who you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, and then of course Reggie Miller comes in and he says, "Does somebody call for an old Pacer because he used to play for the Pacers, for the Indiana Pacers?" Yeah.
All right. Well, that I want to see her play. She sounds like she sounds really good. I'm glad she's. Yeah. I'm glad that there's a woman out there that's kicking butt and can be out there.
Yeah, and I'm also curious to see which team's going to pick her up in the draft too, because I got to look that up when the WNBA draft is, because I know the NBA draft happens, and I think my guess is like somewhere in June. I know. The NFL draft is right around the corner. It's going to be here in April.
Uh-huh.
My best guess, the WNBA draft is maybe before their season starts. I don't know.
Okay, you got to write a note and figure that out.
Yeah, I got to look it up. Okay. continuing the March Madness on March 24th. Now, like I said, Colorado lost, but this was a tough loss to Marquette, 81-77. Duke beat James Madison by almost by 40, 93-55. In the women's tournament, Colorado advanced to the Sweet 16. Their women's team beat Kansas State 63-50. Oregon State defeated Nebraska 61-51. And then Texas defeated Alabama 65-54. The next day, NC State defeated Tennessee 79-72. UConn defeated Syracuse 72-64. And then Iowa with Caitlin Clark, her team defeated West Virginia 64-54.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's going to be more March Madness games this weekend for both men's and women's.
And does it end in March or does it continue into April?
it continues into April. With the women's Final Four is going to be in Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the men's Final Four is going to be in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. All righty.
Mm-hmm. So back to the Avalanche. This one was crazy. They were playing a home game against the Pittsburgh Penguins on the 24th of March. I think this was a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I was trying to my best to watch the game, but the Avs were down like 4-0 in like the first or second period, so that I stopped watching.
And then they ended up winning.
Yeah, we ended up coming all the way back to win in overtime 5-4.
See?
Yeah, because during that time, I was here. I was like checking on the score. Like it was, I saw it was, then it was like 4-1, then it was 4-2. And then later I saw it was like 4-4. I was like, oh shoot. And then I turned it back onto that channel. And then we ended up winning in overtime. And I was like, thank goodness. Cause it was getting pretty ugly in a hurry.
Yeah. That's why you stopped watching it. That happens a lot. People will leave the stadium thinking their team is sucking and they're not going to win. And then all of a sudden they come back and win.
That reminds me of the Miami Heat. Their fans did that years ago in the finals against San Antonio. I can't remember the year, but I do remember that they left the arena because they were losing. But then All of a sudden, Miami came back to win, I think, in overtime, and the fans couldn't get back into the arena or something.
They wouldn't let them back in? That's funny.
No, they couldn't let them back in. I can't. Like Grace. I said, I do remember this, but I don't remember the year it happened.
Okay.
It had to have been maybe 2013, maybe a little over 10 years ago.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you have next?
Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw.
Ricochet defeated JJ McDonagh from The Judgment Day.
Okay.
Jey Uso defeated Shinsuke Nakamura. Candice LeRae defeated Ivy Nile. Andrade defeated Giovanni Vinci. Giovanni is from, he's teamed up with Gunther from Imperium.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then, I can't believe this happened. Big Bronson Reed beat Sami Zayn in a match. And I wanted Sami Zayn to win because I like Sami Zayn.
But who was the first guy? What was his name?
Big Bronson Reed.
Oh, Big Bronson Reed. I don't think I've ever heard of him.
I think he's from Australia or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. So is he new?
No, I've heard about him before.
Okay.
So I feel like he's been around for a while.
All righty.
Yeah. So I heard about this, though. The Broncos are getting new uniforms for the 2024 season.
Why? Just to start off new?
I guess. I mean, I heard that they posted this on their social media. They posted the news that new uniforms are coming soon.
Uh-huh.
My only thing is I don't know what they're going to look like. Maybe they're going to look like the jerseys that they wore, those like orange uniforms that John Elway used to wear.
Yeah.
Like the orange one with like the maybe like the stripes on the sleeves or something. I just don't know how long it's going to take until we see these new uniforms or what they look like in general.
Well, hopefully it'll be for this season.
Yeah, or before the season. So I was kind of interested in this because I just wonder how, excuse me, I was going to keep track of the number of days until the jerseys get released so you can get to see what they look like.
Yeah, probably will be before.
And I think they said it was like a year. The process took about a year or something before they went with it.
Oh, just to decide if they were going to pick them or not?
Or just to make new uniforms.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
I guess I could see that. All right, BB said that Big Bronson guy was in the WWE and they let him go and now he's back. So that is why. Boy, Bam Bam, it keeps knocking you out. And now, like, I don't know what is going on. I have a huge echo in my ear. There's nothing I changed. It just happened. And then all the problems with Aaron in the at the beginning. It's weird. I wonder what the heck they're doing. Welcome, BMUASMPX. Good to have you.
So all then, right, Aaron. In the NHL, this was the Avalanche again, but they've lost these last two games. They lost to Montreal, which snapped their 9-game winning streak. They lost 2-1. And then last night, I was watching that. I listened to through the second period. Mm-hmm. But the Avalanche lost. I saw the final score this morning, and the Avalanche lost 3-2 to the New York Rangers.
Wow, they were doing so well.
I know that winning streak was fun while it lasted, but right now we have like 9 games left in the season, and I've been keeping close eye on the standings, and it is really close. Like right now we're 3 points out of first for the, I think, the Western Conference or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really close for like all the other, especially for the President's Trophy race too, because whoever has the which team has the most points at the end of the season gets the President's Trophy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's the for both the Nuggets and the Avalanche, the playoff races for both of us it's really, really tight. Like, it's really close. Like, I checked the Nuggets last night, and they're a half game in first place of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder for first in the Western Conference.
That is close.
Yeah, it is. So it's going to come right down to the wire.
And hopefully they'll turn it around.
I heard some teams clinched playoff spots. I heard the Rangers clinched a playoff spot, Boston, I think Florida, and then also Carolina did as well. I haven't heard anybody from the Western Conference clinching a playoff spot just yet.
Okay. Well, hopefully we will get it. You need to get a drink of water, Aaron.
Yeah. I know our Avalanche will be in the playoffs, but I'm just curious who we're going to be playing in the first round once we get there.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Aaron. You did a great job. Besides, you didn't have any control over the mic problem that we're having, but I appreciate you doing all that work.
Thank you, as always.
Yeah, I hope you took notes on all the questions I had. See, you can answer them for us.
You know, I was also going to say I'm also excited this weekend because tomorrow is the kickoff of the new United Football League, and my Birmingham Stallions are going to be playing the Arlington Renegades tomorrow.
Now, I don't remember what that league is. It's a new league?
Yeah, it's like a spring football league. It's where it was. I mean, it was before because there was the United States Football League and then the XFL, because those are the two spring football leagues. And then those two leagues merged.
That's right. You were telling me about that.
Merged, okay. Yeah. And now they're it's the United Football League.
Okay.
And this weekend they kick off their new their first season.
Oh, okay. Now where can you watch that at?
There's going to be games on Fox, I believe Fox tomorrow, mm-hmm. and then ESPN on Sunday.
Gotcha.
So games are going to be on Fox and FS1 and then ESPN and ABC.
Oh, okay, good. At least you'll be able to see them, right?
Yeah, and I got to make sure to put my Birmingham Stallions tank top aside so that way I can wear for tomorrow too.
Yeah, we might have nice weather. Hopefully, but at least you'll be.
Yeah, inside. And that's my favorite team from the United Football League is the Birmingham Stallions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite team. And I remember they won the first two United States Football League titles.
Cool.
Like in back-to-back years. So they're trying to go for a three-peat. So we'll see what happens this year.
All right. You got to root them on. Wear that tank top.
Yep.
All right, Aaron. Woo! There's your music. Thank you so much, my love.
You're welcome. I'll see you next Friday.
You got a message in the chat.
Thanks, BP.
There you go.
All right, see ya.
Bye. Hi, M-Words. Hello, Words. World, FSURIYA. How are you? Good to have you. All right, Aaron just finished sports. I'm sorry, you guys. I know that Bam Bam's dealing with being cut off, and now we're dealing with all the noise and crud that's going on. I don't know why it's doing that. But for the music segment that it's going to start now, is the music from the documentary that we watched last night on connecting through movies and their soundtracks. That's just a little side kick that Bam Bam and I have together, that we watch a documentary or movie that has to do with music. And then on Friday, I play the music from the movie or documentary or the artists that were in it. And so last night we watched the Rainbow documentary, a documentary about the historic Rainbow Room on Hollywood Sunset Strip. For those of you that aren't familiar with California, that's the, I'm sure you've heard of the Sunset Strip. There was the Roxy, there was the Whiskey A Go-Go, the Rainbow Room. There was one that started with a G. I know it's in this document that I have that I'll come across too. They were all in this strip of all these different clubs that you could go to listen to music. The Rainbow Room was more of, it started off as a restaurant, the Villanova. I know it's in here somewhere. Villanova, I'm pretty sure. And then it turned into the Rainbow Room. And the Rainbow Room was where the artists would go to and hang out after gigs at the Whiskey Go-Go or the Roxy or anywhere on that strip. But they would come to the Rainbow Room, eat, hang out, and just chill. And we watched CBGB too. One of the guys mentioned that in the documentary, the guy from Wasp, and I can't remember all the names. Wasp and LA Guns, I think. He was talking about CBGBs and how the Rainbow Room was like a CBGB, that everybody kind of came through there. And it's true. It's just a cool place. It was so cool to see. I went there once and I didn't see any bands. It kind of, to be honest with you, I was already scared because I snuck out of my house and I shouldn't have been there in the first place. But it was more of, for little Dina Joe, it kind of scared me because you see all these heavy duty rockers, and you know, I wasn't used to that scene. So we just kind of went in and went out of there. But I think we ended up at the Roxy. I've never been to the Whiskey A Go-Go. I've been outside of it, but I've never been in it. The Rainbow, yes, quite quickly. And then we were in the Roxy. We would go to the Roxy all the time. Before becoming the Rainbow, it was Villanova Restaurant. It was originally owned by a director, Vincent Minnelli. Originally was owned by film director Vincent Minnelli. At the time, he was married to Judy Garland. Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe would meet there at the restaurant on blind dates around 1952. They talked about that. The Rainbow became known as a hangout for musicians. Most notably, the Keith Moon, Alice Cooper, Led Zeppelin, Ritchie Blackmore, Mickey Dolenz, Harry Nilsson, John Lennon, Ringo Starr, and Neil Diamond. Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash were also known occasionally. They didn't really talk about them. The group musicians, they called themselves the Hollywood Vampires, and that was most of those guys. I believe it was Keith. It was Alice Cooper for sure. I think it was Keith Moon, Mickey Dolenz, John Lennon, Ringo Starr, not Neil Diamond. It was, did I say Mickey Dolenz? There was another one. We did this too. They have like a little sign, and they were known as the Hollywood Vampires. And it was like a little room that they would go up a couple steps. And then of course they had it chained off, so only they could go up there, and they would call it like a little gentleman's club. And of course, you know, some women were allowed to go up there, but it was mostly them hanging out. And they also, I believe it was Alice Cooper, that started the baseball team that they had with little t-shirts with the said Hollywood Vampires, and they would raise money at different fundraisers around the city. So there was a lot of cool stuff that happened there, a lot of cool bands. So I'm going to start with, and after watching it again last night, there's a lot of bands that I didn't get to be put in here. So I just got the main ones. The first one I'm going to play is Mickey Dolenz. He was on the documentary a lot. This is one of his own songs. It's not a Monkey song. I wanted to play one by him. It's called Lonely Weekends. And a little bit about Lonely Weekends. Oh man, everything is messed up this morning. Lonely Weekend by Mickey Dolenz is a poignant song that explores the depths of loneliness and heartache. Its lyrics convey the pain of a lost love and the lingering consequences of our actions. Though it's emotive of melody and relatable themes, the song has become a source of comfort for those navigating their own moments of loneliness. So here is Mr. Mickey Dolenz. He's really in this documentary a lot. They talk to him, and it's just kind of weird to see him hanging out with these hardcore rockers. But when you see them up in this little, you know, this vampire, Hollywood Vampires, they're all just a bunch of dudes. They're all just normal dudes hanging out. You know, Alice Cooper doesn't have his makeup on. He's got one of these funky little bucket hats on, and they're just hanging out and enjoying each other's company. Here's Mickey Dolenz, Lonely Weekends. Hopefully it'll play. There it is. It kind of has a happy feel to it, I think. It reminds me of Jack Johnson.
No woman, she was wild. Gave it up to have a child. She said, oh, these lonely weekends.
Welcome, WJQCK3. Lonely Weekends. It's off the album called Demolition. It was in 1998. It didn't chart anywhere. Like I said, he was in the documentary a lot, but I don't recall them playing a Monkey song or any of his. They did play a lot of, there was a lot of part of the instrumental parts of songs that I couldn't figure out what the heck the song was, unless it was the band and they showed the song. I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't get on. I searched all over the darn web, World Wide Web, looking for music that was in the documentary. And I think it gave me three songs, and those three are on here, which is one of the next ones I'm going to play. Motorhead, Ace of Spades, which we all know. I should have picked another one, but it was actually in it, so I wanted to play it. So Motorhead's most famous song is about gambling and risks. Lemmy, who is also throughout the whole documentary, it starts off with them unveiling a big, huge statue of Lemmy, which is out in the front or on the side, because they do have a side area of the Rainbow Room. It's really cool. So Lemmy recalled writing the song in an interview with Mojo Magazine in February of 2011. Ace of Spades is an unbeatable, apparently, but I never knew it was such a good song. Writing it was just a word exercises, gambling, and all the cliches. I'm glad we got famous for that rather than some turkey, but I sang the Ace of Spades. This is the one where he sung the Eight of Spades for 2 years and nobody noticed. And it's kind of hard to hear. You do understand him a little bit better when he's singing than when he's talking, but it's still hard to see if he's really saying Eight of Spades or Ace of Spades, you know, when he's doing it live and stuff. But anyway, here's Motorhead, Ace of Spades. It's kind of sad because you see Lemmy throughout this documentary and he really does look like he's frail. So Lemmy had a tattoo of the Ace of Spades on his left forearm after Motorhead frontman died on December 28th, 2015. Dave Grohl got an Ace of Spades tattoo on his wrist. And that is Ace of Spades, Motorhead, Ace of Spades, 1980 off that album. Yeah, it was kind of, it was just sad to see him. That was his home. I mean, he lived right down the street because he loved this place. He loved going there. He loved hanging out there. He loved the people. The people, he talked about the staff and how nice and genuine they are, were, you know, and still are. The family, what is her name? Maji, I have it on here somewhere. No, I do. Miloma, Joe. No, that's Vincent. Oh, darn. I know I have it on here. It's just not in order. But the family, it was just, you know, went from the grandfather to the son, and now the grandson have it. And they just, the Magliari, I'll put it in the chat. Magliari family. Mario was the main guy who came from Chicago in 1960s to help it to come back to life. And he was the one, and it never ended. The stories that he tells of Charles Manson coming in there, it's crazy because he said that he wasn't there. And one of the girls who was working called him because this guy was acting weird and wouldn't leave. He wouldn't leave the restaurant. He wouldn't leave the bar. And so she said, he's saying, I got on in my car and I drove. I don't remember how long it took him to get there, but he said he got there. And then that's when Charles Manson, said to him, do you know who I am? I'm Jesus. And the owner, the older guy, he's like, I don't give a shit who you are. I'm God or something. And then he kicked him out of the club, not knowing, you know, who he turns out to be, but just crazy. Can you just imagine? I mean, it's just weird. Just think that, I mean, I don't know how long after that he decided to have all those people killed, but it was just weird that all kinds of types came through that place. So yeah, he said, I'm God, mother, blanker, get the out of the chair. I'm going to beat the crap out of you is what he told him. So yeah, it just seemed like a very genuine, the whole family. It just seems like a very genuine family. All right. The next song I have is Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss. Gene Simmons is another one who is throughout the whole documentary. I'm talking about the Rainbow Room, the music, how music has changed. I thought he was pretty funny. So about this song, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley of Kiss wrote this track, which became their signature song and was usually played at the last song in their encores. Stanley said in an interview, "Originally, Gene and I would tend to help each other fill in the gaps. Rock and Roll All Night came about because we felt we needed an anthem, a song that could be the rally cry for all of our fans. So I went back to the hotel and came up with the chorus and the melody. Then I went down to see Gene and he came up with the verse. We used to write a lot like this. As Gene and I became better writers, we became either less willing to bend our individual ideas, or it may have been that we were both figured out songs would be stronger if we developed by the person who really wrote them," he said. Here is Rock and Roll All Night, Kiss, Gene Simmons.
Crazy. You say you're power over spin. The party's just begun, we're letting you in. When you drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. You keep on shouting, you keep on shouting.
So Rock and Roll All Night is the song that defines Kiss' musical identity, which at the time wasn't clear. They wore costumes and makeup, but without a unified theme. Gene Simmons was Demon, Paul Stanley a star, Chili, Ace Frehley was the spaceman, and Peter Cross was the cat. I wasn't coming together. They weren't coming together. They were struggling. I have no idea what he was trying to say there. But anyway, that's Rock and Roll All Night. Kiss, Gene Simmons off the album Dressed to Kill. This one did chart 12 in the U.S. and 13 in Canada. And part of what Gene Simmons was talking about, he did talk about how the rock stars back then, you know, they did dress up and they did dress in women's clothing or wear makeup and have long hair and stuff like that. But he always compared it to the music that is out now and how, you know, it's not really considered music. I really liked listening to him describe all this stuff. He wasn't happy. He's not happy with the state of music as it is right now. All right, Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. This one did play briefly in the documentary, Guns N' Roses. Matt Sorum was in there a lot talking about the song. Axl Rose wrote the lyrics when he was in Seattle, which gave him some perspective on the size of Los Angeles. This song is about Los Angeles. It exposes the dark side of the city many people encounter when they go there to pursue fame. Guns N' Roses knew the side of the city very well. In 1985, they lived in a place on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles that they called Hell House. The house was often filled with drugs, alcohols, and groupies. They all kind of lived right around that area by the Sunset Strip, by all these clubs. Of course, because it was easy to get to, and, you know, they weren't getting paid a lot of money. So that was easy to get to, and it was easy to get the chicks. And they had, I can't remember the name of the magazine that they talked about, that, because I remember this magazine. And part of the magazine was known for just the groupies who went to bed with the different artists that played at the Rainbow and the Whiskey a Go-Go. So it's just interesting facts. Here's Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. Released as a single in 1987, it charted in the UK but flopped in America. It finally became a hit in the US when it was re-released in October of 1988 after Sweet Child of Mine hit number one. Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses, Appetite of Destruction. I like
watching these documentaries. First, but mostly this one too, because it just, I remember seeing all those places growing up. So yeah, it was kind of cool. All right. Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne is throughout this whole documentary. He was another one who kind of was there all the time. So hi Q, welcome. Bye Q. So he was in the documentary. A little bit about Crazy Train. I'm trying to remember a story about Ozzy Osbourne in the documentary. The Sam Kinison and the porn star, Jeremy. Oh, the porn star. You know who I'm talking about. I was like, why is he a porn star? He's not good looking at all. And I was told last night why he was a porn star. But the porn star and the comedian had taken Ozzy to his car a couple of times because he's gotten a little bit too intoxicated, or the vehicle. Hopefully he wasn't driving. Hopefully somebody was driving him. But that's one of the stories that I remember. Sam Kinison and Ron Jeremy, is that his name? The porn star. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. How do you guys know all this stuff about him? That's exactly what Bam Bam told me. He's a human gross. All right, well, anyway, that's the story. I'm just gonna play Crazy Train. Here it is.
Oh no!
just sent me, BP just sent me, Louis Gossett Jr. Passed away, 87, dies. He was an officer and a gentleman in Roots. It's not letting me read the whole thing because it's telling me I have to create an account. His portrayal of the drill instructor earned him an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in The Officer and a Gentleman. He was the first Black performer to win in that category. How sad. That's sad. Thanks, VP. Oh, my gosh. Your breakfast looks really darn yummy. What is that? Is that Eggs Benedict? That looks good. Damn, he eats good. Thank you for sending me that. That's sad. Oh, man. All right, Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne. We're going to move on to Lita Ford. We're going to play Cherry Bomb because they played that in the documentary. I'm not going to talk so much because I won't be able to get all these songs in. Remembering her again, they lived all around there in apartments. They would play there. This man, Mario, was just like a father to these young artists. You know, they would come in, and if the one Matt Sorum, he said like a couple of times, he told him, "I don't, you know, you're drinking too much. You need to stop drinking so much." And they would. One of the main things was she talked about it was chicken soup. You know, if you had a hangover, you weren't feeling good, you would come and get chicken soup, and he would always make sure that you were fed. So Lita Ford, The Runaways, Cherry Bomb. Here it is. Oh my gosh, it looks so good.
Hello, darling. Hello, Mom. Cherry Bomb! Hello, world. I'm your wild girl. Cherry Bomb!
Lita Ford with Cherry Bomb and Joan Jett in there. Joan Jett was in there, right? Yeah, she was in that band. She was in that band. They were all so young. Another band that was just kind of crazy to see with all these rock and roll bands was Chicago. And they went by, was it Chicago Transit Authority, which Bam Bam and I both, he said the same thing. I had no idea. I grew up listening to Chicago from my dad, who lived in Chicago, and he loved them. And I don't ever remember them being called Chicago Transit Authority. I mean, I know that's the name of this album too. But one of the songs that they did play was Does Anybody Really Know? And they were, the house band, they said they were there playing music when the big bands would come in. Then they, you know, they didn't play, the big bands would play. They would play on the opposite nights. But yeah, Chicago started off there. That's where they kind of got noticed. So here is Does Anybody Really Know? There it is. Robert Lamb. A couple of them were in the documentary.
One day, a man came up to Does anybody know what time it is?
So we go from Chicago to Wasp, Sunset in Babylon. Again, I'm just gonna play these songs and try to tell you the story that I remember about in the movie, in the documentary. This guy, now I know I have his name, I'm pretty sure. Steve Riley. He was both in Wasp and LA Guns. He's throughout the documentary talking. And yeah, I didn't know WASP standed for We Are Sexual Perverts, but it does. That's what WASP stands for. We Are Sexual Perverts. Here is Sunset and Babylon. It kind of sounds like the time warp in the beginning. Just that beginning. Yeah, that's totally about Sunset, man. That is Wasp, Steve Riley of Wasp and LA Guns. And it's funny because we're going to go right from Wasp to Smokey Robinson, because Smokey Robinson was one of the first African-American played there, that kind of, you know, from the rock and roll. And he was saying that he wanted to have, he said, I didn't care what color their skin was. And so they played Going to the Go-Go. And when both of these clubs, the Whiskey a Go-Go and the Rainbow opened up, it was like the Go-Go, you know, they had the Go-Go girls up in the little platforms, looking cage-like things, dancing. All right, so that, of course, is Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Going to a Go-Go. We're going to move on to some Doors. They talked about the Doors, Jim Morrison and them starting there, and how Jim Morrison would expose himself at times. And he wasn't happy about it, Mario. He's like, no. So here's the Doors, Light My Fire. I can't even imagine the stuff that he saw. No, I was dreaming the ocean. Baby shark. Dang, man. Thank you for keep coming back. I appreciate you so much. What the hell is going on with Poppy? I gotta listen to, I can't remember if you came in on Wednesday or Monday. I'm thinking, I gotta listen to the show and find what you said to do. Because that's not, I mean, like I said, I would listen to pre-recorded ones in my pocket when I'm walking, and it now turns off. So it's kind of, I can't listen to it unless I'm constantly have it in my hand and keep touching the screen. Hi, Julie. Welcome. All right. So that's some Doors. The next band, I just threw them in there because I can't remember which band member was the one that was in the other bands. This is the Cult, Fire Woman, that I'm going to play. I can't remember. Was it the drummer? Was it the same drummer? He was in different bands. And they showed a picture of the Cult, and I like them. So that's why I'm playing this song. They didn't play the song in the movie, but they were a band that frequented and went through the Rainbow Room. So here is a little bit of Fire Woman, the Cult. This very second concert. Was it the first or second concert I went to? I'm trying to remember. I just remember that was another one I shouldn't have been at, but my sister was with me, so I didn't get in as much trouble because she was with me too. My mom always knew. She always knew when we were somewhere where we shouldn't have been. Woman. Another band that they talked a lot about, well, in the documentary was Van Halen and how they started out there. And one of the concerts that they had at the Rainbow Room for Van Halen, there was just thousands and thousands and thousands of people on the street. And word got out that they were giving out tickets. So they were all out in front of the Rainbow Room. And then all of a sudden it was said, no, they're giving the tickets to Tower Records, which was right down the street. And this is all on video, by the way. And you can see all of these people running from the Rainbow Room, running down the street, thousands of them to Tower Records to go get the tickets. They get to Tower Records and Tower Records is like, nope, it's back at the Rainbow Room. So everybody's running the opposite way. By then, the LAPD were out there. The SWAT team was out there. It was insane because the place only holds like about 200 people. And there was thousands of people there. So Van Halen, this is Ain't Talking About Love. I just remember Steve Riley talking about seeing Van Halen for the first time there. You're semi-good-looking. Van Halen, Ain't Talking About Love, off the album Van Halen. Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to move on to Motley Crue. They were in the documentary, some crazy stories about them. Starting off there, this song is Dr. Feelgood. And the music just kept like changing and getting harder and, you know, going through the different eras that played there. All right, so that is Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood. The band would reach popularity in 1989 when the release of Dr. Feelgood was, which was their fifth album. All right, so the last one I have, and like I said, there were so many more towards the end after I had already put this list together. Eminem played there, Billy Idol played there. They kind of just showed quick clips. And at the end of the documentary, it was kind of sad because the final moments, they just have a roll call of all these great musicians who have passed away, you know, and it was just kind of sad to see the faces of all those that have died. And then it ends like with Lemmy. And then the very last one that they showed passed away was Mario, the owner, the grandpa, because now it's his son. And then the grandson who was running it, he passed away. And so it was just kind of sad to see that era kind of die, and how Gene Simmons would say that rock and roll is dead, you know, that everything now is more just pushing buttons and stuff. And if you don't like the way you sound, you can change it. So if you've never seen this documentary, it's well worth your time. It's about 71 minutes long. It's not that long. And it's music history. I would love to go back there just to walk into that place and be in awe of all that. It's like a little museum. All the pictures, all the guitars, all the picks, everything, you know. So I'm going to play the last song, Velvet Revolver, Big Machine, because Slash was throughout this whole movie talking about his times at the Rainbow. One of them sneaking in. He couldn't get in. He had a fake ID, and I can't remember who he was with, if it was another band member that went with him. And the first guy got in with the fake ID that Slash made him, but Slash, they didn't let him in. So he went back home because it was ladies' night and put on some of his mom's dresses and dressed up as a woman, and then they let him in. So that was the story that I remember about him. But he was throughout the whole documentary is Slash. He grew up there. I bet you he still goes there. I think he probably does. They have their own table. Here is Big Machine, Velvet Revolver.
I don't know, because she says so. He's a faggot boy, because he says so. He's a junkie piece of shit because he says so. All those first class chances brings me down, down, down. All that first class drug shit brings me down, down, down. It's a big machine, it's a big machine. It's a big machine.
We're all slaves to a big machine. I want to thank Bam Bam for continuing to join me on Thursdays, so I'm not there by myself watching it. Thank you, my friend, my family, my friend. I love you so much. I appreciate you guys. And for everybody else that came, I think it was Scott, was in there for a while, and it was kind of cool hearing his stories of going and playing at the Rainbow Room. Yeah, he said he played there when he was young, so that was kind of cool. So next week, we're going to be watching another one. It's called the Sunset Strip documentary. And from what I'm understanding, Johnny Depp is in there, and it's not the same group of people. It's different. So we're going to watch that one. So let me turn down Velvet Revolver and end the show before Aaron keeps pacing downstairs. I know he's ready to go to work. I got to get him there. So let me leave you guys like I always leave you. Thank you guys for being here today. I love you guys. You mean the world to me. Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. Like I always say, it's going to try to not let you smile. Just persevere. You can get through it. We're all here for each other. I love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and I will be back here next week. Bye. Where's my music? It's not playing. Love you, Podbean. There it is. Wow. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye. Hi, Diana. Thank you for coming in. Bye.